everybody, and welcome to episode 306 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I am your host, Mark Kuznez, and as I record this right now, I am not sure if anyone will actually hear this because I've been sick for a little while now, and it's going on to be a longer while, and it could be something that maybe I should see a doctor about, but I'm trying to do everything I can to see if that is a problem before I deal with a doctor, because I'd really rather not see a doctor. Though I did think, because I'm a morbid person, it's like, oh, what if I went to the doctor and he's like, you're dying? And then I was thinking to myself, that would kind of suck, but man, the value of my art would skyrocket, because we all know dead artists make the money. Yeah, so there's that, but I've been not the best. And I don't want to go into the details because nobody wants to hear about what the sickness involves. But I'm hoping that it goes away on its own, because I'd really rather not see a doctor. And because of all of this going on, I don't feel like I have that much to talk about, at least in this beginning section where I just talk about nonsense. I have been working on a new piece of art, which I'm really enjoying, especially as I begin coloring it. It's based on a piece of, I don't want to call it chalk art, but a period of time ago. there was a time when I would go for late walks. I still do this, but when I was going on late walks at like 2 in the morning, I would, when the weather was nice, of course, have sidewalk chalk with me. Or I'd find some that was left on a sidewalk from kids playing. And then I would write little positive messages on the sidewalk, because if they don't like them, they can just wash it away. That's what sidewalk chalk is for. And the one that I really liked, and I'm sure I'm not the first person who's thought up these things, but I did come up with all the things I wrote out of my own head. But the one I like the most, and the one I did this piece on, is, no one is beautiful to everyone, but everyone is beautiful to someone. And I think you're beautiful exactly as you are. And I wrote that just because I think there are a lot of people. I am somebody who has issues with my appearance and issues with self in general, but I suffer from body dysmorphia, which I won't go into here. You can look it up and find out what it's about. But I think there are a lot of people who potentially get hurt when someone doesn't tell them they're attractive in any way. Not just saying they're beautiful, but you know, maybe you're looking for the approval of someone and you don't get it, and you get hurt and let down by that. And I think it's important to just remember that, you know, not everyone's going to find everyone. There's no objective example of beautiful. No one is objectively beautiful. There's not a single person on this planet who everyone could look at and say, yes, that is a beautiful person. You may think supermodels, but like, there are plenty of people who think how skinny they are is, you know, bordering on disgusting. I'm not a fan of it. But, while you may not get the compliment you seek from someone, like if you're attracted to someone and you want to go out with someone, maybe they don't reciprocate and you feel down by that, it's important to remember that while maybe that one person doesn't find you beautiful or pretty or whatever, there are many people out there who would think you're that. And it's important to remember that, which is why, you know, no one is beautiful to everyone. There's no one in the world who everyone thinks is beautiful. But no matter who you are, there is someone out there. There is at least one. No matter how much you may disagree, there is at least one person out there who thinks you're beautiful. And I guarantee there are way more than just that. So that's what the thing is about. And so I decided to write those in three chunks on a piece of illustration board, which is what I always do. The first one, no one is beautiful to everyone. Little bubble, the new bubble. But everyone is beautiful to someone. New bubble. And I think you're beautiful exactly as you are. And then I basically surrounded them all in the entire rest of the piece with little kind of heart shapes, some more deformed than others. You know, they're almost like hardy, leafy-looking things. And then what I decided to do was color around each little bubble with ones with red, ones with, like, purple, a little violet, and then one's blue. And then surrounding all those is green. So it's almost like it's a flower. And I think it's come out really, really nice so far. I posted an image of it to Instagram, somewhat colored, as I'm working on it today. And I'm really, really happy with it. I think what I'm going to do, I think this will be a great print for people too. And of course, if anyone wants to buy the original, they can. And on imprint, they just added art cards, so you can get cards made up, and you can get them in batches. So if you wanted to get cards made up of this and then, you know, send them to people and stuff, when I finish this, that's another option. But what I think I'm going to do personally is the business cards that get made up are on what is essentially like a mat board, almost like an illustration board too. It's fairly thick, and it's larger than their typical size, which is, I don't know, what is the typical business card size? 1.5 inch by 2.5 inch or something. I don't know, but it's larger than that. More like, what can I? I think it's about 2 by 3.5, maybe. It's a decent size. Anyway, sort of like the trading card art boards. But anyway, what I think I'm going to do is get this printed on 100 business cards, and instead of having all my info on the back, I'll probably just put maybe in the bottom, like the website, maybe my Twitter, and then leave it blank to leave little messages if I want, but also just for people to write if they want. And then I'm going to, I already do this with business cards, but I think this will be even a nicer little thing to randomly drop around the city of Chicago. And if people wanted to get some and drop them around their cities, they can always let me know. You can always let me know. Email me, Mark, M-A-R-C, at pixelatedsausage.com. And I could talk to you about potentially sending you some. Yeah, may even get stickers made up so people can stick them to things. But yeah, that's what I've been doing while being a little under the weather. I hope that wasn't too boring. But I art's what I do. I like doing it. I really like coloring, and I'm really happy with how this piece has turned out so far. So yeah, now let's get to the rest of the show, which you may or may not hear. Ba ba ba. So I have two shows for y'all this week in anime, one of which is a show I talked about briefly last week, and that is Natsuyuki Rendezvous. And if you remember from last week, I was pretty positive about it. I thought it was a fun little quirky show. For those of you who don't remember, it's basically about this like young adult, probably in his, I think he's like in his 20s, male who keeps passing by this flower shop, and he finds the owner of the shop, this little older lady, say she's about 30, attractive. He's drawn to her for whatever reason. But when he decides to pursue her by taking up a part-time job there after somebody quits, some man shows up when he is invited over to her house to, I don't know if they were going to work on something or maybe just have tea. This man's there who he never knew about, and he's fully naked. The only thing is, and he doesn't realize this at first, he's the only person who can see this man, because that man is, in fact, the dead husband of the shop owner. So, at first it was really fun, and Hazuki is the name of the young man, and then Roka is the shop owner, the woman, and Shimao is the name of the dead husband. At first, in the first three or four episodes, it was kind of this fun little playful quirky thing where Hazuki would be trying to make some advancements, trying to make some progress with Roka, and it just would always end up turning awry because Shimo would get in the way, like ghosts do. Like there was one time when he had her to the ground and she was like, "Yes, take me," and the ghost was just, he put his face right up in front of hers, so he's like over the shop owner, and he sees the ghost's face, her dead husband's face. And I thought, oh, this could be kind of fun and quirky, even though there were weird elements to it, even in the beginning where I didn't understand why the characters were doing all the things they were doing. Sometimes Hazuki would be very, very aggressive, and it would seem a little weird, and Roka always seemed very kind of accepting of it. Yeah, even though she's never been with another man since her husband died 7 or 8 years ago. And spoilers, I'll definitely be getting spoilers later on, but light spoilers now, deeper spoilers very soon. So that was a bit weird. She's just like, okay, yes, take me. I haven't been interested in a man in forever. But no, I'm interested in you now, because, okay. And part of it is just because she never thought another man would ever want her for whatever reason, even though she's very pretty and cute. And that was the thing that drew me into the show before I knew anything about it. I just saw the key art, the poster, and was like, I really like this art style. And I will give the show that. It is very pretty. I really, really like the art style, and it looks very nice. The problem is about 3 or 4 episodes in, Hazuki gets really drunk, and this is where the spoilers will start to get more in-depth. He gets really drunk and agrees to let Shimo go into his body. And he lets him borrow his body so that he can, in a way, get his last bit of, I don't know, to kind of move on, so he can be with his wife for just a little bit longer physically, because he can't touch her as a ghost. And he wants to before he can move on, supposedly, kind of. And then it just takes this really dark turn where Hazuki, who is really the best part of the show, is locked away in this kind of fairy tale world where it keeps changing and is barely in the show. And then you just see, at first, Shimo trying to destroy Hazuki's image, cutting his hair, getting him the geekiest glasses he can find, and just trying to make him undesirable so that Roka will not want to be with him when he relinquishes the body. But then he starts to realize how much, I guess, he's missed his wife and wants to still be with her, and now he's in this body that's healthy, because the reason why it passed away is because he had health issues. I think part of it being that he really never had much energy and wasn't able to exert himself much. So it starts to turn into this dark thing where he kind of ends up choosing or deciding that he kind of wants to just take the body, steal it. And Hazuki doesn't really know what's going on. He can't get a hold of him or anything. So that's the thing that's going on. And then it eventually gets to a point where I can't remember what happens where it's not... Something happens where Hazuki gets out of the fairy tale world and then becomes a ghost form, essentially, like what Shimoo was in the beginning. And then he's around there for a little bit, and he sees Shimoo and Roka talking about each other because she figures out that Shimoo is now in Hazuki's body after he left all these flower arrangements for her and took his Shimo's sketchbook and his bag and something else, and then went off to this trail that he couldn't do before when he was himself and not physically able. And she goes there and they realize that, then they have this picnic and they're just kind of lovey-dovey. And I'm like, you realize that the actual owner of that body is just not here. And then they're talking about it and they're just like so in love and not even mentioning the fact that, yes, your dead husband is back, great, but he died. And you shouldn't just ignore the fact that he's stealing this other person's body right now. And I was concerned because Roka didn't seem to be too concerned about Hazuki. And then at the end of one episode, she's like, wait, where is Hazuki? Because she declares her love to Hazuki when Hazuki's not in his body. Hazuki had declared his love to her when he was still himself, but then she later declared her love to him when he wasn't in his body. And then she asked later on, like, well, where's the Hazuki I fell in love with? And then you're like, thank God she's not going to be like, let's just get rid of this guy and let's be together again, because that was horrible. But then, like, the next episode, either the last episode or the episode before the last, she's like, you know what, why don't we just let me die here and then I can be with you forever. We'll both kill each other. And I'm like, wait, so is he going to give back his body and then be dead? Or are you going to kill off his body? Like, and then she's just so willing to be killed, to let him kill her. She gives him some, like, sharing blades, and she and, like, embraces him. And then he goes into the motion like he's going to kill her. And then, of course, we all know, like, I was in no way thought he was actually going to kill her. If that happened, I would have been even more upset with the show than I already was. He drops the shears, hugs her, and then I don't even remember how the show ends. I think Hazuki gets his body back. No, I do remember how the show ends. Hazuki gets his body back, and then they end up happily ever after, and they just skip away to the point where Hazuki died years later in old life. I think they're both dead, and I think Hazuki may have outlived her, but they both live long, and now her sister, or maybe like her sister-in-law, is back at the shop, and they got their kid, and Shimo's ghost is still there, and he sees his grandson, and he's like, go look in my room or whatever. It's just, it was this really fun, quirky show that turned into this melodramatic pile of poo-poo. It just became really serious and dark and unpleasant, and I didn't like any of the characters because I really liked Hazuki, and then he was just kind of thrown to the side in this fantasy world or this purgatory-like world. And then I did like Roka, even though, like I said, throughout the show, the character actions were always somewhat questionable. Her actions became even more questionable as the series progressed, and I was just confused, like, what she was doing, and then what she was doing when he changed bodies, and then when she realized, I'm just like, I liked you, but now you're not seeming like you're all there and that you're not the greatest person. And then, yeah, it became an overly dramatic disappointment, and I was really upset with it. It's very pretty. I wouldn't recommend it. I ended up, I started at a 7 and then dropped it all the way down to a 4 out of 10. So yeah. Yeah, I'd say you could. The hard thing about this show too is that you can't recommend people give it the 3 second, not 3 second, the 3 episode rule, because the 3 episodes are nothing like the rest of the series. 3 or 4 episodes, I can't remember when the change happened, but the beginning of the series of the show is nothing like the rest of it. So it was just like, what? It's only 11 episodes long, so if you really feel like watching it, if after I spoil it and you're like, this sounds like it's up my alley anyway, go for it. It's on Crunchyroll. And then the next show I've watched is something, I haven't finished it yet, but it's something I've been meaning to watch for a long time. It's kind of one of those, hey, I don't know if you should say everyone should watch it, but it's one of those big boys, I'd say, not on the level of something like Cowboy Bebop or Trigun or stuff like that. But it's a pretty big show that I think people should watch. And I think people should watch it because I think it's really, really good. And it's Skip Beat, which I am just loving more and more. I'm so surprised by how much I enjoy it. And what's really telling is I'm enjoying it so much despite the fact that I hate the art. It's not my kind of art at all. I hate this art style. So it's not always the easiest to watch. The hair especially is what drives me freaking nuts. The bangs that just look like, I don't know, like little needles or something. It's very ugly. But the story of Skip Beat is that this girl, Kyoko, she was sort of like a servant of this rising star in the celebrity industry, whatever you want to call it. And Show is his name, not celebrity industry show. Show is his name, SHO, or you can call him Fua, but I'll call him Show. And she just does everything for him. She's at his beck and call, does whatever he wants, whenever he wants, is incredibly supportive. They've known each other since they were very young. When he decided to move to Tokyo to become a star, he asked if she'd go with him, and she's like, oh my god, you picked me of all the people, and, you know, other girls are jealous of her because she was picked and she gets to be with him. But really, he just picked her because she'll pay the bills and keep the apartment tidy and all this stuff for him, and he's never really cared about her. And she finds this out after overhearing him, after going to his place of work to, I don't know if she was dropping off some food or something, and she finds this out, screams at him, you know, just like, forget all, like, I just feel like I wasted all my life doing all this stuff. And then she declares that she's going to get her revenge against him. Slight spoilers. I mean, this is like all in the first episode. And I don't think I'm going to get too spoilery because I haven't finished it, and I think it's a show everyone should watch. And then she just, and this is also in like the description, so this is just the synopsis basically. She declares that she's going to get revenge against him. And she then changes her whole look. She becomes a redhead, cuts her hair, styles it differently, dresses a bit differently, and proceeds to get into the industry through a lot of tenacity and just overbearingness and just really never giving up. At the very beginning, there's a moment where she's like, maybe I should just not do this. And quickly, you know, she gets a motivation and decides to continue at it, which makes sense because if she did decide to quit, where would the show be? What type of the anime would be over in like 3 episodes? But yeah, it's just about her getting into the industry and getting closer to her goal of revenge, but also at the same time realizing that there's more to all this than just getting revenge. That she's realizing, you know, when she was with Sho this whole time, she really wasn't herself, and throughout her life she's kind of always only ever done things to satisfy other people, to make other people feel better, and to do and just did things for other people. And she's finally starting to kind of discover herself and find out who she is, and she grows over the course of the series. Her relationship with other people grow. You get some backstory on her as a child and other people, and there's a lot of great character growth and a lot of great humor. She can get very, very agitated, and I love it when she gets super into this something, whether it's wanting to really pull something off really well, or she gets super upset with show or something, and she just gets like the Dragon Ball Super Saiyan like fire around her and just gets this aura of like craziness. And it's really, really funny and sweet and heartwarming and ridiculous and fun. And what really makes the show work so well is that Kyoko is an incredibly likable character. It's not super similar to this, but she's almost like, and I can't remember his name, it's like just Googie or something. But the main character from Days, she's just someone who is so easy to root for, and you want to see her succeed. And she doesn't get things right every single time. She will fail, but she keeps at it. She doesn't give up, even though, like I said, there was that moment. But she just keeps fighting, and she has so much heart. She cares so much about other people. She might try and play it off at times, but she is deep down a really, really, really good person. And it's just such a great show with a lot of great characters. I mean, she's great. I think Sho is a great antagonist because he's such a jackass. And then there's this other rival to Sho who's sort of the big dog in the celebrity world. And the why can't I think of that term? It's not icon. Idol, like in the idol space, Ren, who you learn more and more throughout the episode, and he kind of gives her a hard time in part because he doesn't think revenge is the best reason to get into the industry, but he starts to learn more about her, and they have a nice little playful relationship. And then she also meets this female character who gradually starts to warm to her, and they become friends. And it's just a really, really nice show that has a surprising amount of heart, a good amount of humor, and a fantastic amount of crazy. And I'm so surprised by how well it holds up and how just great it actually is. I've watched 18 episodes so far. It's a 25 episode season. It's on Crunchyroll. And it's sitting at an 8 for me just because I want to see how everything plays out. But it could very well become a 9 for me. Maybe, I don't know, who knows, maybe if it like blows me away with the ending, it'll be a 10, but it's really, really strong so far, and it hasn't really dragged at any moment, and there was so far there hasn't been any kind of throwaway bikini / beach episode, so that's really nice too. So yeah, skip beat, and there's an exclamation point if you want to add that to it. Skip beat on Crunchyroll, super fun, super, super good. Definitely recommend that, highly recommend it. You may look at it and say, this art is poopy, and I would agree. But at the same time, it's such a good show that it transcends that art. It's bigger than the art itself. So definitely check that one out. And that is it. So I have two games to talk about this week, but before I get to them, I will touch upon No Man's Sky really quickly, and just so much that I can say, I've decided to take a break from No Man's Sky, and it's mainly, well, two reasons. One, it's about time I took a break from it. It's kind of consumed me for the past week and a half, taking all my gaming time, so I haven't had a chance really to play anything else just because I've been so into No Man's Sky. but also because I, while playing No Man's Sky, fell in love with the aspect of learning language, of learning the various alien species' languages, and I just maxed out all of one species' language, one alien's language, which took about 400 and something words. So I learned 400 and something words of one alien species, and then every time I would go to a knowledge stone, I wouldn't learn anything new. And that was kind of awesome, but then kind of sad at the same time. I was like, oh my god, I learned every word I could of this language. And of course, 400 and change isn't that much in terms of language. There are many more words than that in our language and various languages. So it's not every word in the known universe. Well, in this known universe it is, but once I did that, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Now I don't have to worry. It was almost kind of freeing because I didn't have to then go after these knowledge stones. But then I stepped back and also thought, well, now what am I supposed to do? Because that was my main goal in the game. I didn't care about getting to the center of the galaxy or any of that stuff. I just wanted the universe. I just wanted to learn the language so I could better communicate with the aliens. Even though, in the end, you can't do much with that other than being able to understand what kind of resource an alien might want or whether or not they're saying something bad or good to you. You can't really hold conversations. You can just reply to them more accurately with the more words you know. So I'm going to take a break from it, and I'll probably come back to it at some point, maybe when it's received some more substantial updates, and I'll definitely will probably pick it up on Xbox One when it most likely hits Xbox One, because I really enjoy the game. I am in no way disappointed with my purchase or feel like I made a bad decision. I got many hours of enjoyment out of No Man's Sky, and I'm sure I'll get more in the future. Right now, I'm going to take a break, but I don't hate the game. I can definitely see why people do, but I really enjoyed my time with it, and I think so many people out there are just loving to hate on it, as people may know by listening to Pixelated Radio, where co-host Rob bought the game. And it's just a ridiculous thing because, and I thought it was ridiculous on the show that he bought it, because I thought maybe Corey bought it and Rob just decided to play it, which is how it went with The Witness, which was another game that Rob wasn't too keen on. I think he ended up liking that, maybe, but then he got stuck, but then he went back to it, but he was never that hyped for it. And he was never hyped for No Man's Sky, so why buy it? Why pay, and it's $60, or maybe there's like a 10% discount. So why pay all that money for a game you don't think you're going to like? Is it just because you want to be in on the conversation? Because you expect it to be hated and you want to be part of that hate? It's just stupid. I would never buy anything to anything that I feel like I'm not going to like just to be part of a conversation or for justifying a hate. I am much more money conscious and I'm very frugal, as people know. Because they're like, oh, why don't you just buy every game? I'm like, no, I'm very money conscious. Anyway, the games I've been playing are Battlefield 1, the beta, which I believe by the time you're listening to this will be open for everyone. I've been playing on Xbox One. And then The Final Station, which is a little indie game available on PC, PS4, and Xbox One. I'll hit Battlefield 1 first. So I played about 4 or 5 matches of Conquest mode, and then one match of what I think is Rush mode, which is kind of like the Gold Rush mode from Bad Company, where you have two objectives. There's an attacking team and a defending team. You have two objectives. You basically want to like plant explosives on these two objectives and hold off the enemy while it's doing its business. They explode, and you're like, yay, now defend this area for a brief period of time until the new objectives arrive, and you want to do that five times. So 5 points of two objectives, making it a 10-objective thing. And that was fine. It's a much more smaller, refined gameplay mode, but I thought, and I think most people would say Conquest mode is where it's at, and I really enjoyed my time with it. The controls are a bit iffy. It feels like there is a lot to do that you can do, and it's not always the most intuitive to do it all on a controller. But the shooting feels good, and that's what's important. And the main controls are really solid. The one thing I don't like is that you can do a bayonet charge, and I felt like it was wanting to do that in times when I didn't want to do that. And I wish it was a different button than the melee, the basic melee. Because when you're sprinting, you press the melee button, and then you do this bayonet charge. And I don't think you can really move that much left to right. So you're just kind of charging. And also your character screams, which I don't know if the enemy hears that. If they do, that makes it even worse, because then you're just, you know, signaling, hey, I'm here, I'm coming after you, look out. But the real problem for me is that being on the same button, the right analog stick, as the melee, the just general melee attack, there were times when I wanted to sneak up on an enemy and kill him, but I fail. I would run past him because I would do this stupid bayonet charge that was off target, and then I'd get killed because I didn't just do a melee attack from behind. I sprinted past him with my bayonet, and that sucked on multiple occasions. But I really enjoyed my time with the beta. Other than that, I think it looks really nice, though. I think it would look so much better on a high-end PC or Scorpio and Neo when that comes out, or even on PS. It looks nice, but it can definitely look a lot nicer, I think. And I don't know if this is the case on PC, but like it definitely feels softer than I was expecting. Like very almost blurred out, like it's trying to hide the fact that it's maybe not as sharp on the Xbox One as it is on potentially PS4 and of course PC, but it still looks pretty good. It ran really well. I only experienced lag in my last match, but other than that, it ran really smoothly, and it's just fun. What I love about the Battlefield games, especially after coming off of Titanfall 2, that beta or whatever test thing, it just has a much grander scale to it all, and it just feels epic, and there's so much going on, and it's just cool to see planes fighting in the air, and you're like, those are real people, and then they come at you, and you're like, there's not a blue tag above that one. Oh crap, it's coming right at you, and you're just like, oh, I need to find cover, because it's going to make a firing run, or people are riding on horseback, or in jeeps and tanks and all that, and just explosions all over the place. It's really fun, though. Like I think pretty much every Battlefield game, the maps are pretty big, and there are times when you will be in an open space far from the action, and you're not able to find a vehicle or anything, so that you're just kind of running across this large area for, I don't know, 30 seconds waiting to get to the action, which can be a little annoying at times. But I really did enjoy my time with the beta so far. I might go into it a little bit more, but I think I've gotten my fix of it, because there is only one map, and I don't think we get any kind of bonus for reaching the max level in the beta for the main game. I am really, really curious about the single player, though, just because my father loves first-person shooters, and he loves, more specifically, military first-person shooters. And I think really more so than the futuristic ones, he likes the ones grounded in reality and the ones that take place in a somewhat historical context. So I'm really excited about getting the game so that I can enjoy this game, but just so I can watch my father play it. I'll be like, here, try this out. Because he loves them. I think he's finished a dozen first-person shooters at this point, and he probably loves the Call of Duty franchise more than ever, but that's the one concern I have with the single-player for Battlefield games. I feel like they're always more open and not as linear, and he definitely needs a bit more of a hand-holding game, which may not make this... Because I've always thought, you know what, I bet he'd love the Battlefield Bad Company games because of the explosions and all that, but then I think those are a bit more open, especially with air, just like drive around in this tank and go, yeah, like, I don't know if he'd do well with that. Anyway, the final station is this little indie game that I got a code for. I've been playing on Xbox One. It's also available on PC via Steam, of course, and PS4. It's $15. Just came out yesterday when you're listening. It's the 30th. And the basic premise of this game is that you're in a world where these infective have come about, and you are a train conductor who's operating the, I think, only running train at that point, and you're just going from station to station, transporting passengers and cargo, and trying to survive each time. And what I think because the story is revealed through little tidbits here and there, and you get some more at various stations that are more story-driven. But what I think happened in this world is that years ago, many years ago at this point, these pods dropped from the sky, and they released this gas that affected people differently. Some people turned into infected, and I think some people were just unaffected. And infected people are just kind of like zombies. I'm just thinking of them that way. So people have, I guess, moved off to these various train stations that some have somewhat significant towns within them, and then some are just more like small little stations with a few houses and whatever. But you're just going from station to station, like I said, collecting resources, finding people to rescue, and getting the code to be able to transport, to move on to the next station. And at first, I was really interested in the game. I'm still kind of interested, but at the same time, one, I'll say it starts off really slowly. It takes a while to get going. And it doesn't do a good job of telling you things. It doesn't teach you about punching, which you do on the Xbox One controller with the B button. But it doesn't tell you about that until there's a point where you have to punch through a glass wall to progress. But at that point, you've already dealt with infected. You have a gun. You don't get a super great amount of ammunition. So knowing you could have punched zombies to death beforehand would have been really beneficial at that point, but they didn't tell you that, which was annoying after I found out I could punch. And when you're transporting passengers on your train, they have two bars that you have to pay attention to: hunger and health. And you have med kits and food, so you can feed them and heal them when need be. But there's also this little icon that appears under some people who always seem to have like bandaged heads. And it's a little water droplet. And I'm thinking maybe that means they're constantly bleeding, that they're significantly hurt, and you need to just be more vigilant with feeding them and healing them, because with everyone else, their hunger goes down and their health stays the same. And if their hunger goes down all the way and they're starving, then their health starts to go down. With the people with the little droplet under them, both their bars are going down at the same time, and it's a bit more rapid than everyone else. But it doesn't tell you what that is. You just have to assume it. And then there are shops in the safe villages, which I've only come across one so far. I'm in another one now, but I don't know if there's going to be a shop in this one. It's more of a scientific research base. And I've made it to 10 plus stations at this point. But I was at this one station that was not overrun with infected, and there were shops there, and there was a gun shop where I could buy ammo and other stuff, but it included two things that looked like they were gun upgrades, but it didn't tell me what they were. They were just very, very expensive. I had maybe $1,200 on me that I saved through the course of the game at that point, and the upgrades were $800 and an $850. I didn't know what they were. I had no idea. And I ended up buying one because I figured they have to be good because they're expensive and everything. But I didn't know what I was buying. And it was a bit risky because I was spending so much money on that when I could be spending it on ammunition or food or medkits, which I also bought. But I could have had more money left over for those at future bases, etc. And I found out later on after I went to another base that with infected, that what I bought was a laser sight for my pistol. And that's pretty beneficial because it allows me to more accurately make headshots. But at the same time, it would have been nice if the game told me that before I bought it. Because there was another upgrade, I have no idea what that was. It could have been something I would have rather had. Maybe it would have made the pistol more powerful, and so I wouldn't be wasting as many bullets, which I would have preferred. But I don't know what it was, and I'll never know unless I decide to replay the game and then buy that slightly more expensive upgrade when I play through it again, if I do that. But on to the actual game. The biggest problem I have with it is that it's just incredibly repetitive. Visually, it changes things up a bit, but it is a bit samey. I really enjoy more so than when you're at the train stations, the time you spend between train stations when you're traveling on the train and you get to see the environment in the background, whether it's an industrial environment or maybe it's a bit more of a rural or nature. You see mountains in the back, or there's a sunset or a sunrise, etc. Those are always very pretty and a bit more different than the actual stations. The problem I have with the stations is that the way they're all set up is pretty much exactly the same. You go to the station, you arrive, you go to the main building, no one's there, everyone's dead, or maybe there's some people working, and you go up to the main office to get the code so that you can move on to the next station because you need the code to be able to leave. And if there's somebody there, he's like, you need to go see so-and-so. I'll print off the code for you by the time you get back. Because apparently printing off codes takes hours. And, of course, you can't just write the code on a piece of paper or just tell it to me either. So, go off and do your business. Or if that's not the case, it'll be like you'll find a note that says, the person with the code went here to go do this, so you're going to have to go do that too, because they're not coming back. You can't just wait for them. And then you go through the level, fighting off infected, collecting some resources, and maybe potentially finding people to save, until you reach the end of the level, where you will probably find the code. You will always find the code. I don't know why I said probably. I'm just thinking that when you reach the end of the level, you find the code, and then you'll be able to go back the way you came, I think, but there's always an alternate route that opens up, And you could go that way, fight through more infected, find some more resources, and find maybe some more people to rescue. And you just do this every single time. And what I don't like about it is that you don't have a choice in the matter. And it's kind of hand-holding in that way. And what I would have liked is for there to be more of a risk-reward system in play where you can get the code really easily and you could just keep progressing from station to station, but at a point you won't be able to buy more food or supplies or ammunition, and the passengers that you have rescued, you won't be able to give them what they need and they'll die on the train, etc., or you won't be able to find new people to rescue who will supply you with things if you get them to the destination. And I think it would be nice if, like, okay, you can choose to not really venture into these areas, but you will then not be getting resources of various degrees, you won't be finding people to save, and you won't really feel that satisfied when you get to a thing. But maybe there are times where it's like, you know what, I'm not feeling comfortable with going into this station. Or even if you go into a station partially and you're just like, I've collected some resources, but it's feeling like it's getting too dangerous. I don't want to go any further. I'm going to go back and just take what I did get and just, you know, leave it at that. I wish it was more open in that sense. But other than that, I've enjoyed my time with it. It's a pixely art style, and I like that. But I've enjoyed my time with it. I'm interested to see where the story goes. I would really like to see it get a bit more open, but I'm not holding my breath for that. I've finished two or three acts at this point, so I'm not sure how long the game is. I've played it for probably 3 hours, so it's got potential in it, and I'm interested to see where it's going to go after this. One thing that I do think is pretty annoying, it did just get updated to yesterday, so I'm not sure what that did, but the menus are annoying in that the buttons are all in white, and when you're over a button that you actually want to use, it's just like tinted gray slightly. And I hate that because it's just like, okay, we're not going to make it super easy for you to tell where you are in the menu. And I always hate things like that. I also hate, I think that this is the case in here, I hate any type of menu that doesn't recognize the D-pad as a way to navigate it. It's just like, nope, the analog stick is the only way to navigate this, because I prefer navigating menus with the D-pad. I always prefer that, and this is a case where you can't do it and it's super annoying. But yeah, the last station, the final station, the last station. Isn't that that movie with Peter Dinklage, or is that something else? I don't know. The final station is available, like I said, on PS4, Xbox One, and on PC. I've been playing it on Xbox One. I'm enjoying it so far, and I have issues with it, but it's better than I was expecting. Well, I don't know. I wasn't expecting much, but I'm into the game, looking forward to see where it goes from here, but I am worried that it may happen sooner than later that I just kind of get bored with the repetitive nature of, okay, get to a station, go all the way to the end, get the code, go all the way back, rinse and repeat. There haven't been any new infected species in type for a while now, so now enemies are all the same pretty much, so hoping that maybe changes things up. But yeah, it's a decent little game that's worth checking out if that sounds at all interesting to you. And that will do it for this here episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Before I get to plugs and all that jazz, I do want to talk a little bit more about the piece of art that I just finished and will be putting up either later today, Wednesday, or potentially holding it off until Thursday. I don't know, but I've been calling it beautiful nonsense for the whole time because, you know, it's kind of my thing to just throw nonsense at the end of everything because in many ways a lot of my art is just nonsense. And, of course, this is all about beauty and feeling beautiful and understanding that you, everyone, is beautiful. But when I was thinking about it, I'm like, well, beautiful nonsense makes it sound like this piece about beauty, this statement about beauty, is nonsense. And that's not what I want to come across. I don't want the message to be tainted by my affinity for calling all my work nonsense. So I'm not sure yet, but I'll probably be calling the piece "Everyone is Beautiful." Because that's really the message behind it. Everyone is beautiful. So yeah. Just felt like putting that out here. So now on to the plucky plugs. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Kuznez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Vine, Monolist, Xbox Live, all the usual places, at PX Sausage. On PSN, I'm the Kush3. That is the KUSH number 3. This site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, all the other podcasts the site has that I may or may not have any role in. My throat is like being a real punk ass motherfudger right now. But I highly recommend checking out Pixelated Radio this past week because it was a lot of fun to record. In part because we actually were watching each other, had video rolling this time while Skyping. I think we stopped doing that when we tried it like years ago at this point, just because I think there were some connectivity issues. And the reason why we did it for this episode was because Corey accidentally answered with his camera and he had the camera pointed directly to his crotch. So just like, oh, great, Corey's crotch. Wonderful. And then, I don't know, maybe 5 or 10 minutes into the episode, Rob turned on his camera. And then 5 minutes later, I was like, okay, I'll get in on this. And I just had some fun with that, especially when I played Peekaboo. That was my funnest part. But it was a really fun show. Sad that Rich couldn't be there. But anyway, you can find that show, this show, Pixelated Paranormal, all of the podcasts on pixelatedsausage.com, along with all of the art I do. And you can find links to buy prints from there and a whole bunch of other jazz. Pixelated Sausage is where you want to go to get everything Pixelated Sausage and more. But if you want to go directly to the print store, you can go to inprint.com. That is inprint without the second I. So inprnt.com/gallery/PX Sausage. All the stuff's up there. And if you want to support the site by throwing a few bucks at us every month, you can go to patreon.com/PXS and chip in a few bucks that way too. It really does help the site and all of us because, you know, the site is not free. It costs money to keep it running, to have the space and all that, to keep every episode ever in iTunes and everything. Not just like, oh, let's delete older episodes. Like, it isn't a free thing. And we do this for the love. We don't really have ads on the site. I have the Amazon thing going, but that doesn't really do anything. And no one really uses it. Maybe there will be times where I'll get something because I link to something that is a really good deal. And people are like, okay, I'll get this. But for the most part, it's just kind of there in case anyone wants to use it. And I don't think it's super invasive and really, you know, if you see something, typically they're related to posts. So it's like, oh, he talked about this on the show. Sounded interesting. I can go get it from Amazon. And who doesn't use Amazon? Really. Anyway, yeah, that'll do it, I guess. If you want to, feel free to leave a comment on the post, tweet at me, email the podcast, psp@pixelatedsausage.com. You can also always email me directly, which is just my name, @pixelatedsausage.com. It's not my name, MyName. It's my actual name, which I don't feel like I should spell out. Just the first name, not the middle name or the last name, though you don't really know what my middle name is anyway. I don't know. Yeah, you can also leave a voicemail. I don't remember the last time I told people that there's a voicemail, but 3-1, and it would be nice to get a voicemail from someone other than wrong numbers or people looking for debt collectors or crap. And the number is 312-772-5874. So get on that. And of course, if you haven't already, it would be greatly appreciated if you went to iTunes, rated, reviewed, and subscribed to the show, because it really does help. I say that all the time. Every podcast does. And you may think I'm a liar, but do you think every podcast is a liar? Of course you don't. So yeah, that'll do it. Also, on my Apple TV, the newer one. One, I'm annoyed by the still lack of a Funimation Now app. But two, I finally changed the screensaver to be my artwork. And I forget what setting I have the wallpaper to. But it is such a pain to get it to work. Because I opened up my photos thing, threw in things and threw them into sharing. But then they weren't shared. Like, it's way more of a hassle than it should be to get photos set up as your screensaver on the Apple TV. Two, there's memory in the frickin' box. Why can't I just put images in the actual box? God, my throat is dying. That's the sign to just end the show. Okay, everyone, that is the end. I hope you all enjoy the show. Hope you all have a lovely rest of your day, lovely rest of your week, and a lovely weekend. Bye-bye!